This is the Best Of Daily Devotion series by Pastor Tim Dodson from Believers Church in Menominee, Wisconsin. For more information on Tim Dodson or Believers Church, visit believerstogether.com.
Imagine never having to worry about anything. I mean, that seems like an impossibility. After all, we all have worries concerning things like our jobs or our homes or school. But Paul's advice in our text today is to turn our worries into prayers. You want to worry less? Then pray more. Whenever you start to worry, stop and pray. We're in verse 6 of Philippians chapter 4, where Paul the Apostle writes and says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs and don't forget to thank Him for His answers. And if you do this, you'll experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust Christ Jesus. Prayer, you see, is both an act and an atmosphere. So we're to come to the Lord at specific times. Indeed, we are to bring our specific requests to Him, but we are also called to live well, in an atmosphere of prayer. The tone of our life needs to be lived out in a prayerful tone. With this scriptural directive before us comes a promise. If we will live in such a way as this, God will bring us, God will fill us with His peace. Such is a peace that the world will not, and in fact cannot, understand. You see, this God peace will guard our hearts and thoughts from the dangers and traps that wait for us out there. Now, the reason this is not more of a reality within the greater Christian community today is that we don't really believe this promise, and we don't trust God as we should. Well, we trust Him with the little things, but ultimately we seek earthly professionals for the big things. I mean, we're okay when He moves in such a way as to complement our earthly will and our desires, but we inevitably reject Him when He goes against that desire. We eventually take back the control of our lives in such situations, and then we proceed to just simply make a mess of things. Many of us are quite willing to accept Jesus as Savior, but then we're quite reluctant to allow Him to be Lord. And what that says is that we don't trust Him. It says we don't believe in Him. And that's troubling, because that's quite mandatory to actually being born again in Him. Yet the greater church today is full of folks who want to stay out of hell. They don't want to give up the control of their lives. So we struggle. We worry. We're depressed, unhappy, and without peace, and certainly without joy. Verse 8 of our text says, and now, brothers, as I close this letter, let me say this one more thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and good and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely, and dwell on the fine, good things in others. And think about all you can praise God for and be glad about. You know, when we're truly born again, let's face it, everything changes, doesn't it? Nothing seems to remain as it was. God takes our life and turns it upside down and inside out. Our heart and our desires change, as well as our minds, our thoughts, our thinking changes. Now, that doesn't mean that the world ceases to knock on our door. No, there has to be an effort on our part, gang. Desire and passion and love, these things must generate a motivation to act on our part, or it's just simply all without power and without effect. And that does not describe our Redeemer, that's for sure, for He overcame death itself. Paul here and gives us kind of a short list of the things that we are to think about. And to fulfill this verse, we're going to have to, no doubt, rearrange our lives. I mean, we cannot live as the world lives, or live like we did before we were saved, and still expect God to operate in the midst of that, or rather, in spite of it. We are to live now in the kingdom realm, and that may mean we have to make some serious changes in our lives. We have to come out from amongst them and be separate, as 2 Corinthians 6:17 says. Now, the Bible repeatedly tells us that we can control our thought life. That may mean that we have to say no to certain things, doesn't it? Certain places and maybe even certain practices, even things that are not expressly forbidden in Scripture. After such, we will no doubt then have to place ourselves in the realm of our surroundings, in places that are true and noble, just and pure. We have to move then to place ourselves in areas that are lovely and places of good report, situations of virtue and where one is praiseworthy. Can you think of any place like that? Well, I can. Welcome to the community of faith. No, not just Sunday church, but a world of faith where we are to live and play and interact, love, cry, laugh, and express the gospel and exercise our spiritual gifts. One cannot hope to survive outside of such a community. That's why God tells us clearly that we all are to belong to such. And when we reject it, we reject God's clear instruction. And then we're simply adrift and subservient to the whims of the flesh and the winds of the world. What we think, gang, is what we become. Where we keep our minds is where we are. Our thoughts shape our behavior. What we do is what we think. 1 John 2:16 warns us, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, isn't the Father's, but it is the world's." You see, the strength to live the way Paul is instructing us to herein, it lies in the Word of God. Colossians 3:16 is where we end today, where Paul said, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord."
That was a daily devotion by Pastor Tim Dodson from Believers Church in Menominee, Wisconsin. For more information on Tim Dodson or Believers Church, visit believerstogether.com.